This is Lee Chambers on Cambridge 105 Radio.
For some people, they're going, do you know what, it is tough at Christmas, and somehow it seems more heightened at that time of year. And we're here to talk about emotionally preparing for that time with our life coach, our resident life coach, Mary Williams. Good morning, Mary.
Morning, Lee.
Nice to have you with us. Why is Christmas such a crunch point, do you think?
I think we just have expectations of it being this amazingly wonderful, you know, emotional time where we get together with our idyllic families and everything just goes fantastically.
And it's a history as well, I suppose, in that you can, you know, you think back to maybe last year when you were doing something and, or the year, you know, when you had the best Christmas ever.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there for whom, you know, religiously, it's a really important time of the year for them. You know, very, very important. And I think even, you know, if that doesn't apply to you, we have to remember that we almost are sort of not dragged into that, but that's what we're brought up with, that this is just an incredibly important time. And I think birthdays, people sort of, they either celebrate them a lot or they don't, but Christmas, you know, most people tend to celebrate it unless they're part of a different religion.
And when should we start preparing for this? Because you don't want to, you know, I mean, emotionally preparing, because you don't want to be in a state of heightened anxiety for a month and a half.
Yeah. I think it's interesting you use the word should. When should we? And I think that's completely individual. So I know, as somebody with children, you know, I start actually at the weekend, we sat down and planned when we were going to see family. If your life's a bit quieter, you might start later. And I know, you know, for some people, even thinking about Christmas in, you know, in the middle of November is a horrendous thought. For others, it's late. So I think you have to look at, you know, your life circumstances and what's working for you. But I think most people now are starting to sort of gear up towards it.
But emotionally prepare.
Oh, emotionally prepare. Well, I think that's individual, isn't it? Because it depends on your circumstances. So if Christmas is something that's really exciting and really bubbly and fun for you, I know people that actually, you know, put their trees up 1st of November and start emotionally looking forward to it. I agree. you know, but I think, you know, if Christmas is going to be a difficult time for you, and it is for so many people, you know, I think actually it's gradually, gently easing yourself into it is a really good idea.
Well, let's talk about individual circumstances. We've heard a message from Olivia, from our lovely listener Olivia. She says, "Hi Lee and Mary, my mother passed away very unexpectedly this April, so this will be our first Christmas without her. It'll be just my dad, my fiance and I, so I'll need to fill my mum's shoes and take over her role as organiser of the family Christmas. My dad lives in the south of France. We fly in on the 21st and then still need to do everything, buy the tree, decorate it and the house, get all the food and drinks, visit local acquaintances. Before then, I'll need to manage my dad at a distance to order things at the butcher in time and send Christmas cards. A daunting task, especially at a distance and last minute. Then there'll be the actual emotional impact on both dad and I at Christmas itself, truly realising she's not with us. I'll need to be strong for dad. At least I have my fiancé to support me. But with all that, if you have any tips, suggestions, I'd be very grateful. It won't be easy." No, gosh, Olivia, that doesn't sound easy at all.
No, that does sound
There's
hard.
Quite a lot there, isn't there? There's managing people at a distance. Let's start with the emotional impact. I think, you know, most of us have been through this, your first Christmas without somebody very close to you.
I mean, I think my first thought was just be really kind to yourself, because it's going to be such an emotional impact, that first celebration. And I think also the fact that Christmas is obviously around the new year as well, it's leaving the year that person left, and I think that can be hard. So I think what I would almost say is slow down, because there seems to be a lot in there of I've got to do this and I've got to do this. And actually the words, you know, I need to fill my mother's shoes, actually, does she? Actually, maybe this is about making it a different Christmas rather than trying to replicate it and make it the same.
That first year after somebody dies, just to take a diversion, is full of landmarks, isn't it? The first birthday without them, the first time it's their birthday, Christmas, etc. It's really hard.
Yeah, I think it is really hard. And I think, you know, Cruz, who do a lot of bereavement counselling, they say that, you know, grief, you're sort of starting to come out the other end of it 2 years after the person's died. And I think that's really true, actually. So it's not to rush yourself through that process. And I think a lot of people do. They feel they have to, you know, suddenly sort of be okay with everything. And I don't think you are. And actually, you know, my grandmother died 20 years ago and I still have sort of tearful moments where I miss her. And to just be okay with that.
I think there's something about acknowledging it as well, isn't there? And, you know, maybe raising a glass to acknowledging that she's not there, what she would have said, allowing yourself a little weep.
And I think that I was going to say exactly the same thing, that I think actually almost trying to pretend that everything's fine or even that actually that everything is terrible, it's just go with what is right. Because for some people, there'll be a real mixture around, you know, having a laugh at remembering some of the lovely moments with that person. And of course, there's going to be some tears around sadness, but it's not to feel because it's Christmas we can't feel this, because you're going to, aren't you? That's human emotion.
And maybe, you know, you sort of introduce a tradition that this is what we do to remember mum every year. You know, when my mum died, we started on her birthday or near her birthday going to the orchard in Grantchester, you know, just saying, because Nana liked it here. Yes. So this is what we do to remember her.
I think ritual, which is sort of what you're talking about, is really important. And it's been shown sort of within the human race to be incredibly important. And I agree. I think I had a miscarriage about 13 years ago. And always on that day, I would always just stop and pause and think, you know, and I know other people who release a balloon or do something. And I think you're right to think, what can we do today that remembers all the wonderful times that we shared with this person? What is it about them that we could do that represents that?
And there is something about, I mean, I know it's glib and people say it, but I do think there is something about saying, you know, she wouldn't want you. Yeah. To be unhappy, you know, she wouldn't. I mean, I know, you know, I've got children. When I go to wherever I go to, I don't want them to sit and weep all the time. I know they will, but I actually want them to go out and enjoy their lives. And I'm sure your mum felt the same, Olivia. There's also this when you're. The issue about when you're having Christmas in somebody else's house,
yes,
almost, you know, and how much you organise that, and how much you just sit back and maybe not have the Christmas that you would have had if you were at home.
Yes, I mean, I just think you need to be very careful what expectations you take on, and actually what you do. And it's my children actually are going to their father for lunch this year, and I've already been thinking, actually, by then we'll have had so many roast dinners, I'm going to think about doing something lighter and not being afraid to sort of step out of tradition and to think, well, actually doing all of that and making all of that is going to be a lot of work. What do we actually need? Because we do tend to massively overplan and overcater around Christmas. So if there's just a few of you, maybe actually just thinking, actually, we'll make it easier on ourselves and we'll do something slightly different.
Well, Christmas, it's not all about gorging. It's about actually spoiling yourself, doing what you want. If that's having beans on toast in front of the TV, that's fine.
Yes, exactly. And I have friends that do that. They don't see anyone on Christmas and they just watch their favourite TV programmes, they lie on the sofa and they eat something like that, something really lunky, that really light, that they don't have to actually bother cooking that much.
Now, you see people in your work as a life coach. Does this come up a lot?
Christmas does. It comes up a lot with parents and a lot with professional parents as well, who are trying to work and have probably got sort of lots of Christmas do's and things that they need to keep a track of at work. And then the extra weight of buying presents, wrapping presents, buying trees, that sort of thing. And I always just say to them, try to hit a balance, try to step back, try to say no to some things so that it's not feeling like December becomes this sort of weight. They don't enjoy it. And then by the time they get to Christmas, they're so exhausted, they don't really enjoy that time either. Try to think, actually, what is it that you want, and to create some distance so that you're not spending your whole holiday seeing somebody different and travelling somewhere every day. Actually just having some down days.
I think it's quite helpful as well, having a little bolt hole or somewhere, having a little place to go to when it all gets much, whether that's an actual physical place or just a place in your head that you can just, you know, retract to and think, I'm just going here. I'm just zoning out for a little bit.
I think, so I teach clients to have a space in their head and to sort of push their thoughts outside their head and to be able to calm. I teach them to be able to do that within, well, they start doing it within a couple of minutes, but then they get it down to a fine art. They can do it within seconds, just to be able to take a few deep breaths and calm everything down. But I think you're right, actually, being able to plan if you can, even if it's just a room in the house or walk in the park, to just be able to say, actually, even though it's Christmas Day, I feel I need this and I'm going to go and take this half an hour to just walk around the block or go to the park, because it just keeps us in a better frame of mood. It's not often, is it, that we get up ridiculously early, you know, open tons of presents, lots of excitement, then cook a huge meal, and we're sort of forced to spend, you know, what is it, about 16 hours of ourselves in someone else's company all day, every single second. And we never do that to ourselves normally. So why do it on a day when actually you want to be more relaxed and have fun?
I like the idea of being able to create that little space in your head. I mean, anybody can do that, can they?
Anyone can do it. Yeah, absolutely anyone. It took me a long time to learn it, but now I pass it on to everybody I work
with. There's a technique for just finding this little attic in your head where you can go.
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of say to people, if you pause and breathe and just shut your eyes and relax, and that actually you just tune into that place where I call it your sort of real you. It's that little voice that when you do something that you know you don't quite think is right, it's the little voice telling you that it's not right, and tuning people into that. And the more that we kind of do a bit of work around it, and obviously practice doing it, the quicker they can get it. And that's why you can get it down to just being able to take a couple of breaths and just sort of calming and sinking into that place.
Because, of course, what a lot of people do is they use drink a way, particularly at Christmas, of just opting out of it, really.
Yeah.
And that can actually cause more problems. It's not great for you health-wise, but we all know where that can lead.
Yeah, and I think you're right. People, they overeat, which makes them feel uncomfortable anyway, and then they overdrink. And actually, the drinking leads them to say things they probably wouldn't have said before anyway. So it's worse. So I think if you're in a situation where you think is going to be stressful, actually not drinking or just having a glass or two, whatever is right for you, is much more practical, because then you're still going to be in control of what it is you say and do. And I think it's become almost a bit of a sort of TV sort of spoof almost, isn't it, of Christmas is of huge family arguments, and often drink's been involved. I think that's really true.
And so if you're thinking about Christmas, you're thinking what might be the issues, is it worth just sort of laying it out for yourself and being very honest?
Yeah, I would almost sort of write it out onto a piece of paper as to what your expectations are and what everybody else's expectations are. So thinking of Olivia there, you know, what is it that the expectations are going to be for her father, for her fiancé, and what are her own expectations? And actually almost having an honest conversation about what matches. I know when we've ended up with a sort of an extra, so a friend or somebody for Christmas, I've always said, what's your Christmas like normally? What's important to you that happens? And I try to bring that into our celebration to make them feel at home. But it may be, you know, that Olivia's father would like to go for a walk on his own that day. Maybe he feels he can't say it. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the case, but actually to have an open conversation about what is it that we'd all actually like to do.
And I guess there's something also about afterwards, reflecting on what worked and what didn't.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that's something that you should just do generally anyway. But I know years ago, about 20 years ago, I had 19 people for Christmas lunch, and actually the reflection was I didn't see my children, I didn't really spend any time with them, and it just felt exhausting. And so I vowed at that point I would never do that again. So
19 people.
It was horrendous. So I now see my family on different days, different parts of the family, and actually Christmas Day for us is really quiet, and it's just about board games and playing with the kids.
Well, we will see you before Christmas again, hopefully, Mary, won't we? So we'll see you in about a month's time. But thanks very much for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And if people want to find out more about your work, it's Mary, that's Mari-Williams.com.
Yes.
And you're doing a talk. Do you want to?
I am doing a talk on Friday at the Future Business Centre in Cambridge on King's Hedges Road at 12 o'clock. And it's all about the brain and how the brain works and how it trips you up. So when you want to move forward and keep achieving things and you don't seem to be able to do that, it's about why that's happening. So it's all very informative and very informal. So it's free tickets. So if you can contact me, or it's on Eventbrite as well.
So Mari-Williams.com. Thanks, yes. Mary.